ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सरस्वती व्यासं ततो धेनुदीरे नष्ट प्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुक्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकीम्। We continue our reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 1, Text Number 6. The chapter entitles The Activities of Maharaj Priyavrata. Now in the fifth canto, we have these slokas are extremely long and they're not in a normal meter. They're, I think, called gadyas. So we'll find quite a few of these Gadya sloka will be coming, you know, in future, because most of them, some of them. So being a very long, so I will just try to repeat the word by word and I will just read at one go the whole sloka. And if somebody wants to attend to read, that's welcome to. And then we'll move on to word by word. Sorry?
We can try.
Okay. All right. We'll just. I don't know the meter for this because it's very long. Okay. I'll just do a long few, then I'll stop somewhere as I go. Yad hi bhavaharajan. Saraja putra priyavrata parama bhagavato naradasya charano pasevyaya kya swabhagata Paramartha Sattvato Brahma Satrena Dikshiyasya Mano Abani Tala Paripalanaya Manata Pravara Kanta Bhaja Nantaya Swa Pariputro Pamantra Trihitrito Bhagavati Vasudeva Eva Bhya Vadhana Samadhi Yogena Samaveshita Sakala Karaka Kriya Kakalapa Naiva Bhyanandana Yadyapi Tat aparatyatmatva vyatat
Tat aparatyatmatva
adhikarana atmano anyasmat asatopi parabhavam vikshamana
param vikshamana.
Okay, we're good. Okay, we'll go for word by word.
Yadhi,
because. Bhavaha,
indeed.
Rajan,
O king.
Sa, he.
Rajaputra,
the prince.
Priyavrata,
Parama,
supreme.
Bhagavata,
devotee.
Naradasya,
of Narada.
Charana,
the lotus feet.
Upasevaya,
by serving.
Agyasa,
Anjasa,
quickly.
Abhagata,
became aware of.
Paramartha,
transcendental subject matter.
Sattvatva,
Sattvata, with all knowledgeable fact.
Brahmasatrena,
by continuous discussion of the Supreme.
Dikshishyamana,
desiring to fully dedicate himself.
Avanitala,
the surface of the globe.
Paripalanaya,
to rule over.
Amnata,
directed in the revealed scriptures.
Pravara,
highest.
Guna,
of qualities.
Gana,
the sum total.
Ekanta,
without deviation.
Bhajanantaya,
because of his possessing.
Swapitra,
by his father.
Upamantrita,
being asked.
Bhagavati,
in the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Vasudeve,
the all-pervading Lord.
Eva,
certainly.
Abhyavadana,
without cessation.
Samadhi yogena,
by practicing yoga in complete absorption.
Samaviseta,
completely dedicated.
Sakala,
all.
Karaka,
senses.
Kriya kalapa,
whose total activities?
Not.
Eva.
Thus.
Abhyanandata, welcomed.
Yad yapi,
although that.
Apratyatmanatvayam,
not to be rejected for any reason.
Tad adhikarane,
in occupying that post,
Atmana,
of himself,
Anyasmat,
by other engagements.
Asata,
material,
Yadir,
api,
certainly,
Parabhavam.
Parabhavam.
Deterioration.
Deterioration.
Anvikshamana.
Anvikshamana.
Foreseeing. Translation and translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Chala Prabhupada Ki.
Jai.
Translation. Sukadeva Goswami continued, my dear King, Prince Priyavrata was a great devotee because he sought the lotus feet of Narada, his spiritual master, and thus achieved the highest perfection in transcendental knowledge. With advanced knowledge, he always engaged in discussing spiritual subjects and did not divert his attention to anything else. The prince's father then asked him to take charge of ruling the world. He tried to convince Priyavrata that this was his duty as indicated in the revealed scriptures. Prince Priyavrata, however, was continuously practicing Bhakti Yoga by constantly remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus engaging all his senses in the service of the Lord. Therefore, although the order of his father could not be rejected, the prince did not welcome it. Thus he very consciously raised the question of whether he might be diverted from the devotional service by accepting the responsibility of ruling over the world. Purport. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung Chariya Vishaya Seva Nistara Pa Echa Keva. Without serving the lotus feet of the pure Vaishnava or a spiritual master, no one has ever attained the perfect liberation from material bondage. Prince Priyavrata regularly served the lotus feet of Narada, and thus the prince perfectly understood the transcendental subject in truth, Sat-tattvata. The word Sat-tattvata means the Priyavrata knew all the facts about the spirit. Soul. The Supreme Personality of Godhead and the relationship between the spirit soul and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he also knew all about all this material world and the relationship of the spirit soul and the Supreme Lord within the material world. Thus the prince decided to engage himself only in rendering service to the Lord. When Priyavrata's father, Swayam Bhuva Manu, requested him to accept the responsibility of ruling over the world, he did not welcome the suggestion. This is the symptom of the great liberated devotee. Even though engaged in the worldly affairs, he does not take pleasure in them, but remains always absorbed in the Lord's service. While thus serving the Lord, he deals externally with the worldly affairs without being affected. For example, although he has no attraction for his children, he cares for them and educates them and becomes devotees. Similarly, he speaks to his wife and wife with affectionate words. But he is not attached to her. By rendering devotional service, a devotee acquires all good qualities of the Supreme Lord. Lord Krishna had 16,000 wives, all of them very beautiful. And although he dealt with each of them a beloved husband. He was not attracted or attached to any of them. In the same way, although the devotee may enter family life and act very affectionately towards his wife and children, He is never attached to these activities. This verse states that the serving the lotus feet of the spiritual master, Prince Priyavrata, very soon attained the perfectional stage of Krishna consciousness. This is only the way to advance in the spiritual life, as stated in Vedas. Yasya devi para bhakti yatha devi tatha guru. Tasaita katita hi artha prakasante mahatmana. If one has unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord and the spiritual master, the essence of all Vedic knowledge is revealed to him. This is a quote from Shvetashvara Upanishad 6:23. A devotee always thinks of the Lord continuously while chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the word of Krishna, the words of Krishna, and the Hare immediately reminds him of all Lord's activities. Since his entire life is engaged in the service of the Lord, a devotee cannot forget the Lord at any time. Just as an ordinary man always engages his mind in the material activities, a devotee always engages his mind in the spiritual activities. This is called Brahma Satra, or meditating upon Supreme Lord always. Prince Priyavrata was perfectly initiated into this practice by Narada. Om Adhyana Divinantasya Jnana Chakshurulalitamena Tasmai Sri Guru Veda. Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadame Dadati Swabhadantikam. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sadhyatam Sadhana Lagana Raghunatham Sri Tittam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sadhana Lalita Sri Visakamitam. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tatpakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vishra Kripa Sindhu Bheva Japatitanam Pavane Vyo Vaishnavi Vyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gopi Gupta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're hearing the great activities of Maharaj Priyavrata. So as we now, Sukadeva Goswami has described the activities of the descendants of the Uttanapad. So Uttanapad is the son of Lord Brahma. So Swayambhu Manu. So Swayambhu Manu's sons were Uttanapad, Priyavrata, and then three daughters, Akuti, and Devuti, and Prasuti. These are the five children. In Srimad Bhagavatam, you would probably most of the see the activities of the lineage within these the family of Swayambhu Manu. So we heard in the fourth canto the activities of the descendants of Maharaj Uttanapad. Uttanapad is the actually younger brother of Priyavrata. And we heard the activities of Dhruva Maharaj, That's in the fourth canto. We heard the whole lineage of Dhruva Maharaj, starting from so Dhruva Maharaj's son was Utkala, Vatsara, then there's Pushpavarna, Sarvateja, Shush, Ulmukha, Anga we heard, Vena, Anga's son was Vena, Vena's son was Prithu Maharaj. Then we also heard the Prithu Maharaj's son was Vijitaswa, Havirdana. We heard extensively of the Prachinjivarisa, which is the son of Havirdana. And we heard the couple of chapters on Pachetas, the sons of Prachinivare. And the son of Prachinivare is Daksha. We'll probably hear a little more activities on the sixth canto. So Sukadeva Goswami has given the whole history, and at the end Maitreya Muni also gives a very nice phalasruti. The hearing about these great kings, great kings. It is wonderful because they are devotees of the Lord. So now in this particular verse is the focus of the activities and the qualities of Maharaj Priyavrata. Now, what is the first great quality mentioned in the text of Maharaj Priyavrata? Speak up a little, Madhu.
He searched for his spiritual master.
Correct. Very first quality is explained, given is the serving or the attachment to his spiritual master. Who is his spiritual master? Narada Muni. Yeah. What a great, wonderful. I mean, we were explaining the other day the greatness of the Narada Muni. You know, these great kings are quality disciple and quality guru, the wonderful, great, exalted Vaishnava devotee, such as Narada. So this first quality is given as the attachment to guru. And as Prabhupada explains in the purport, as she quotes the Narada Das Thakur, Chhadiya Pishaya Seva Nistara Pashache Keva. Without serving the lotus feet of a pure Vaishnava or a spiritual master, no one has ever attained the perfect liberation from material bondage. So, spiritual life, the role of a spiritual master is a very high prominence. As Prabhupada quotes the verse from the Svetasvara Upanishad, if one has an unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord and the spiritual master, the essence of the Vedic knowledge is revealed to him. Yasya deve para bhakti yatha deva deve tatha guru tasyeta katitahi artha prakashante mahatma. So having a faith in the spiritual master and the Supreme Lord is the two and the base and the great ingredients that a devotee can have. These two ingredients can perfect the life of the devotional service. The having a faith on the spiritual master and working with the great faith. We have seen in the very modern, very just recent history in the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. If we think about materially speaking, all these disciples Prabhupada made, they were just coming from the hippie background. It's just, you know, like in you can imagine the worst sinful activities they were performing in a sense somewhere. You know, taking drugs, the alcohols and everything. And then from that, Prabhupada picks them up and makes him into a devotee. They're just being a devotee for just 6 months to, you know, 3 months, 6 months, somewhat very short period. And what is the activities Prabhupada gives them? Go to London and then start the temple. Where they had no money, no assistant, no contact. And they delivered it. We see now we have in our London temple and listening to the how much as we heard from Leandrita, how they were successful. Why? Because of the faith, unflinching faith that they had in Srila Prabhupada's words and the mission. They were able to, you know, do this. We see similarly in Bombay project, Vrindavan project, Mayapur project. I think once somebody was relating.
Near
Vrindavan. Yeah. Any of these projects, and what they had, nothing. Materially, no money, no contacts. Yet, they were able to build a palace. Near Vrindavan. When Tamal Krishna Maharaj was sharing his experience, he said, Prabhupada was sharing his experience that dealing with it in, you know, building a temple and dealing with all the council and everything. And he was in some way mentioning that he knows the laws of the council more than Bhagavata. Because it's so intricate and it's difficult to work with. And he had to deal with it to build that temple. Prabhupada said, Arjuna also had to shoot the arrows. This is your duties. So the faith and the spiritual man, we've seen it in our own life. The sastras, what it's telling, it's not just telling. We're able to see it. Isn't it? So what is the... when you are associating with the spiritual master, what do you get? Is knowledge. Knowledge to what? Have a connection with the spring. That knowledge is given. With that advanced knowledge, as mentioned in the text, with the advanced knowledge, he always engaged in discussing the spiritual subjects. Did not divert his attention to anything else. That's Priyavrata Maharaj. He received instruction from Narada, and as a result, what is he doing? Shravanam, hearing about the Lord. And that gives him a constant meditation on the Lord. And because he was so advanced, he was so attached to his devotional service, to the serving the Lord. Even he was being now requested by Swayam Bhuva Manu, who is his father. And what his father's order is? To now come back and rule. I think as historically we can understand, now Priyavrata Maharaj's lineage has come up to Daksha. Daksha had 10,000 sons, Hariyaswas. They were converted into brahmacharis by Narada again. And then now they're gone. Then he had another 1,000 sons, Savalasas. They were also converted by Narada. And they're gone. They're gone. Now he has 60 daughters. The generation goes from there. So in terms of the lineage of Daksha, stops there. As we historically can understand, is that now the Uttanapada's lineage stopped. Priyavrata Maharaj is still there meditating in the Gandhamadana hill. And then the need of the hour was to get, we needed a qualified king. So now Brahmaji And Swayambhu Manu requests him to come and rule. Now we need a king. So this is what has happened. So, but because he was so much absorbed in the devotional service, he said, this is much more higher. And even to following the orders of our father. Father is elderly, as a son, we're supposed to follow his order. But in the place of devotional service, he kind of said, he did not, what the Prabhupada said, did not welcome. We hear the similar instance. The Vali Maharaj and Shukracharya. When Shukracharya ordered him not to give the land or the words to give a land, and this is Vishnu, it's going to take away everything. He said, no. The higher principle is Lord Vishnu. In that circumstances, he, Bali Maharaj rejected him. He did not follow the order of the spiritual master. Similar we see here also, because of the higher purpose, Fevarda Maharaj kind of said, did not work. What did Prabhupada say in this reference? He says, therefore, although the order of a father could not be rejected, the prince did not welcome it. Thus, he was consciously raised the question of whether he might be diverted from a devotional service by accepting a responsibility of ruling over the world. So his reasoning, the Prabhupada Maharaj's not welcoming the request, was that I'll get you diverted. I go into a material world. I'll get into become a king. I'll have to get married. I'll have children. There's so much attachment will come. Therefore, he kind of was hesitating. Then, eventually, now Lord Brahma himself comes in also in the picture. Now Narada is there. Narada is kind of instructed in the spiritual path. He has not given order to rule the king, but Swayambhu did. And Swayambhu, I think, somewhat failed. Now Brahma himself comes in order. In that regard, then he accepts the kingdom on the order of Brahma. Now, there is, if you look at it, in the... So we have Brahma, we have Narada, and we have Swayambhu Manu. Swayambhu Manu is father, Narada is spiritual master, and then Brahma is the father of Narada, as well as the spiritual master of Narada. So now, it was in the order, say, okay, it's the order of a spiritual master, that Lord Brahma is the param guru of Priyavrata, so he had to accept. So he has accepted the kingdom. Now, what is the one of the most important responsibility of the king?
Dedication.
Yes, dedication. Yes.
I've lived the spiritual life of the citizens.
Yes. Becoming a king is a responsible position. You are a responsible, king is responsible for the whole entire citizens of his kingdom. Very nicely, Narada Muni gives this is one of them, and of course he has many responsibilities. Just as Narada Muni in the 7th canto is instructing Yudhishthira Maharaj on the similar subject matter. What is the responsibility of the king? He gives five adharmas. The king is meant to protect citizen from adharma. Dharma is religion, the prescribed duties. But adharma, the irreligion. He gives five. This is in the 7th canto, chapter 15, text number 12 and 14. The first one is says bidharma. Bidharma. Which is irreligion. Religious principle that obstructs one from following his own religious are called vidharma. Something that obstructs. not following that is coming obstacle. The king is meant to protect from that adharma. Second one is paradharma. Religious principle from which one is unfit, or religious principles introduced by others. Not the religious principles already mentioned in the scriptures, in our Vedic script, I mean in Vedas, Puranas, everything is mentioned. Now that religion just started, or something that is introduced by unauthorized person, the king is meant to protect that from citizens from that as well. Abhasa, number three. Pretentious religion. Something that pretends. It's pretending religion. A pretentious religion system manufactured by one who willfully neglects the prescribed duty of his order of life. So neglecting the rules and everything, just following. Upadharma. Analogical religion. A new type of religion created by one who is falsely proud and who opposes the principles of Vedas. So king is meant to protect from that as well. Upadharma. That the religious principle that has not protect, I mean that is not mentioned, or it's not in the Vedas, it's supposed to be. Fifth, chaladharma. Cheating religion. Interpreted the interpretation by one's word jugular. That religion has been created from the just some intellectual creation, something just meant to put it there. So the king is meant to protect from these adharmas to the citizen. This is the material. All that culminates into a following a varnashram system. Now the king is the representative, or to make sure, ensure the citizens are following the varnashram system. Varnashram system. Now, as a king, he has a higher responsibility, not on the material levels, yes. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha, and everything the king is meant to provide for the make sure that's all operating and working well. He is now also responsible somewhat to protect from common problems of the world. Birth, death, old age, disease. Seven, there are seven. What are three other three? Adhyatmika, adhibhautika, and adhidaivika. So king also has some responsibility to ensure the citizens are not in going into this cycle and suffering from them.
Both material and spiritual success.
Correct. Both materially and spiritually is responsible. Then even higher than that, the king responsibility. Now we're coming from material to spiritual. What is the greatest dharma the king is supposed to give to the citizen? As mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 6. Savai Purusho Paro Dharma. The every citizen's dharma is what? Savai Purusho Paro Dharma Yato Bhakti Adhokshaje. Adokshaja is Krishna. Bhakti to who? Adokshaja, to Krishna. And that bhakti, how is supposed to be? Ahituki and apratihata. Causeless. Without having any material cause. Not expecting anything in return. You're serving the Lord causelessly. And apratihata, in unbroken. apratyaya means unbroken. Continuously. That is the highest dharma the king is responsible to bring the citizen to. So, that is why these kings are mentioned in the highest literature of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because this is what they gave to their citizens. This is what they were able to accomplish successfully. That's why we hear about their activities. They're not just given the material facility to the citizens. That is all good. Above that, they have provided a spiritual connection to every citizen. That's why they're glorified. That's why we're hearing, sitting down here in front of the Lord. Their activities. Now, in material also speaking, the king Priyavrata was a very powerful king, it's mentioned. What are some of the accomplishments? I mean, we'll be reading in the pursuing chapters. That he was able to divide whole Bhumandala just by his driving in his chariot and going around it. He was able to create whole Bhumandala. Now, we will be extensively hearing about the whole cosmology of the Lord's creation of this whole universe in this canto. That's why there is a connection between Maharaj Priyavrata and the cosmology, because the whole family will be start ruling in these. So the Bhumandala is the middle section of the planetary system. We see our Earth planet, that's not all. There is a huge planetary system, Bhumandala. So there's Bhumandala, there's Bhuvar Mandala, there's Swarga, so on and so forth, upper higher. So Priyavrata Maharaj was able to divide this whole entire Bhumandala into 7 islands called Dvipas. Now, just a brief summary, we'll go over what Priyavrata Maharaj is the sons and all that. We'll just briefly summarize as we continue here. We'll hear the in detail. But just briefly, so he was married to Barishmati. Maharaj Priyavrata was married to Barishmati. I think she was the daughter of Vishwakarma. And he has 10 sons from Barishmati and 1 daughter. So out of that, 3, Kavi, Mahavira and Sadhana, take sannyas. They don't get into a married life. The daughter gets married to Sukracharya, the guru of demigods. So the daughter's name is mentioned here, Urjaswati. So out of 13 children, sorry, 10 sons, 3, what do we have now? 7 sons and 1 daughter, sorry, 11, from first wife. He had 2 wives. So 3 take the sannyas, 1 daughter got married to him, now remaining 7. They will become the rulers of each islands that Priyavrata Maharaj created. So without going much into, so then Priyavrata Maharaj's oldest son is Agnidra. Agnidra get married to Purvachitti, which is the damsel from Brahmaloka. Apsara, he get married. And then Maharaj Agnidra will have nine sons. Nine sons will rule the. So there's seven islands that are created by. So what we got here? I had it written down, but. So Plaksha Dweep, Salmali Dweep, Kusha, Krancha, Pushkara, and like that, there's seven islands. So center of that island, the whole Bhumandala is called Jambudweep. Right? The middle one. Right in the center. Which is surrounded by salt water. And now the son of Agnidra, sons of Agnidra, Agnidra will rule the Jambudweep. And Jambudweep will be divided into nine vasas. And they will be ruled by the sons of Agnidra Maharaj. So this is the grandsons of Priyavrata Maharaj. So there's nine verses of the Jambudweep. And the Maharaj's nine sons Agnidra had. And then the son of Agnidra, the eldest son, is Navi. Navi will rule the Bharatvarsha of the Jambudweep, of the one of the sections. And then the son of Navi is Rishabhadev. Rishabhadev, the Navi Maharaj has prayed to Lord Supreme Lord, say, I want a son like you. Similar to we hear other pastors. But yeah, he prayed, and then Lord Vishnu told him, there is no one like me. I will have to come personally. So Maharaj Rishabhadev is being born in the line of the son of Navi and Jayanti. And how many sons Maharaj Rishabhadev had? 100 sons. And out of that, who is the oldest? Bharat Maharaj. Rishabhadev's first oldest son is Bharat Maharaj. So, Bharat Maharaj, we will hear extensive about Bharat Maharaj as well, how glorious he was, as a great king. So that comes in the line. And out of 100 sons, 9 sons will rule the 9 sections of the Bharatvarsha. Now, out of Jambudweep, one of the verses is called Bharatvarsha, and Bharatvarsha will also section divided into 9 sons of the Rishabhadev's son. And 9 of the sons of Rishabhadev will become Navayugendras. They become rishis. That we will hear in the 11th canto how they actually teach the transcendental knowledge to Maharaj Nimi. And then 80 of them becomes a Brahmana. They become sannyasi. They become a Brahmanas. They preach and perform devotional service. They don't get married. So like that. So then we hear Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj becomes Jad Bharat. Jad Bharat instructs King Rahugana. All these great personality is coming in this epic of the 5th canto. We will be hearing about them. How glorious to have in your lineage having a supreme personality of Godhead coming as Rishabhadev. How glorious. Even in the Maharaj Devutanapa, in his lineage, Lord came. But he came in the Satyavesha avatar. Who? In the Maharaj lineage of Uttanapa, Satyavesha avatar came. Anyone recall? Maharaj Prithu. Yes. So imagine these great kings have this such a wonderful in their lineage, the Supreme Personality himself comes in and becomes a son. How glorious are they? Now Maharaj Devata had a second wife also. And from that second wife had 3 sons. And all 3 of them, they become the Manus of this current day of Rama. How many manus in a day of Brahma? 14. Yeah. Three of them become A. So third, fourth and fifth manus, their name is Uttama, Tamasa and Revata. This is the second wife, have three sons. And they become the third, fourth and fifth manus in this. What's our current manu? Who is our current manu? Vaivashvata manu, yeah? Vaivashvata manu is the seventh one. So we had Swayambhu manu, we have Sarochisa manu, and then we have Uttama, Tamasa and Revata, which are the three sons of here. And Chakshusha manu is the sixth manu that comes. But Chakshusha manu is coming in the lineage of Dhruva Maharaj. He's the son of Sarvateja. So, like that, we hear the great activities, the great qualities of the lineage, the character of Maharaj Priyavrata. So, in conclusion, Srila Prabhupada, just going to read a quote from Srila Prabhupada in purport. Since his entire life, his equals, that is talking about Maharaj Priyavrata, and Srila Prabhupada in the purport mentions, since his entire life is engaged in the service of the Lord, a devotee cannot forget the Lord at any time. Just as an ordinary man always engages his mind in material activities, a devotee always engages his mind in his spiritual activities. This is called a Brahma Satra, or a meditating upon the Supreme Lord always. Prince Priyavrata was perfectly initiated into this practice by Narada Muni. How glorious. Amazing. Such is the history we hear. This is our such a wonderful that the gift Srila Prabhupada has given to the world, given to us. We are able to read, you know. In the school, what he taught, you know, he's talking about in Nazi or this or that or, you know, blah, blah, blah. What? Nothing. No essence. No rasa. And these the great kings, they ruled. Hearing their activities, this is, you know, thousands of millions of years. In fact, just the ruling period of Maharaj Priyavrata, in the text number 29, I think it's mentioned in this chapter, he ruled for 25 Divya Yugas. What is Divya Yuga? Correct. So there's the four yugas, Kali, Dwapar, Teta and Satya. The duration combined together is called Dipya Yuga. If you want to calculate, Kali Yuga lasts 432,000 years. Multiply that by 2 is duration of Dwapar. Multiply that by 2, Treta, multiply that by 2 is about 1.7 million years is the Divya Yuga cycle. And he ruled for 25 of those Divya cycles. That is equal to almost 110 million years. So that's what we would hear between these, I mean, because they live for so long, that the duration was a lot longer and they live in different era period. So, we'll end here. Okay, wonderful. We will discuss, we'll hear this great in details, you know, the activities of the kings that yet to come. You know, Maharaj Navi, King Rishabdev, Parchat Bharat, Bharat Maharaj, and all that, we'll hear their instructions in details. We'll also hear this, the fifth canto is the cosmology. The question was asked by Parikshit Maharaj in the beginning of the second canto to Sukadeva Goswami, please describe the creation. Why would Parikshit Maharaj just about die in 7 days? Why was he wanting to hear all this? But he wanted to hear the greatness. How great is this creation? We try to create a little one mobile phone and we'd be proud and we'd be very, you know, boasting around and, you know, we create a plane. And look at the Lord. Lord has, you know, created the whole planet that's floating and flying. Not one, two, or million. There are millions. So Maharaj Parikshit wanted to hear this greatness of the creation part. In this canto, now, chapter from I think 16 to 26, it's all describing the whole cosmology. We'll be hearing like how the creation is created. What's our planetary system? Where the position, how they work. So this is all related to Maharaj Priyavrata comes into this. So this is a wonderful canto that we are beginning to study. So nice. Okay, we'll end here. Any questions, comments, corrections?
It's a question and a small comment.
Yes, ma'am.
Regarding to the comment, it's more based on that principle of accessing all inquiries about the spiritual master, looking or searching for the spiritual master as a main spiritual principle if we want to progress. And it's also stated in the nature of devotion. They have 64
items.
And the main one, the starting point is
accepting a spiritual master is the very first principle. That's the Rupa Goswami recommends, yes.
Yeah, it's just that's the comment. Mm-hmm. And the question is regarding to the functions of the rules or the kings that you mentioned, different six,
five
of
adharmas,
and based basically in different varieties of religions and the way how it's they appear or they are expressed in our society, we can see. But I just wonder, my question is more regarding to how to identify them, the variety of religions, how bona fide they are, and not necessarily they are very similar in their practice, or perhaps in their rituals, and so how we can identify that mixture, the variety that exists.
Yes, as we mentioned, there are so many adharmas that pop in, you know, like especially in Kali Yuga, you'll be seeing so much of this, you know, popping in every day. Somebody will claim, I'm avatara of this Kalki avatara, this avatara, or you know, they'll bring a whole new system of, okay, this is the dharma you're supposed to follow, and this, that. You will get all this coming into this, especially this Kali Yuga, and the question is how to identify. Sometimes it's so subtle. There's a fine line that it's hard to make a distinction, and then and how do we go there? So, in a simple term, simple answer is our reference points is Shastra, Guru, and Sadhu. If the mentioned principles are in line with Shastra, and Shastra agrees to it, then there will be our starting first point to say, okay, is this, if somebody claims I'm an avatar, is that avatar mentioned in this period of time in Shastra? No. If it's not, it's bogus. Right? Just an example. So similarly, so of in a very simple answer is that we first, our reference point for anything checking these is bona fide or not is Shastra. Shastra and Guru is also referring to Shastra, and we have access to Guru. If we don't have full access to Shastra and everything, Guru is your second point. And sadhus also are learning these they have also. So yeah, that is a simple answer to that question. Of course, yeah, we have to use our intelligence as well. We have, you know, given intelligence, we can understand, okay, this is right, this is wrong. It's some way, somewhat it can commonly make sense. If you have some understanding of the Shastric knowledge, you can tell it's true, it's religious, I mean, it's true or not. Yeah, it's hard, it's sometimes hard, but use intelligence.
It can be, for example, one of the main parameters to recognize if it's bona fide or at least similar to the Vedic intentions, because basically it's trying to, for us, our standard is set in Vedas, or at least for Vaishnavas. So how we can identify or at least recognize the validity of other type of spiritual practice if they are not based on the same structure seated established in Vedas, but a similar perhaps understanding that their teaching helped to the followers to understand about their identity, their relationship with God, who is God, who they are, and their relationship. Do you think is that the main parameter that we can at least recognize or give validity of that practice?
Yes, right. I mean, okay, somebody says, I am God. What is the first question? You know, like, okay, what is the qualification? We should know what is the qualification of God. What is the quality we have in God? God has... He is the supreme controller. He is the supreme joy, the supreme master. He is the creator, maker, and destroyer. He's got all openness. Everything comes from him. So we have basic understanding of what God is, right? Somebody thinks like. And there will be some other, like other religion, they will say, come up with some meditational practice saying, okay, if you want to achieve the highest, the only means is the meditation. They will come up with something like that. But our scripture says, according to the age, because we are in the Kali Yuga, our scripture clearly mentions meditation is not the highest. The highest is chanting of the holy name, Sankirtan. So that gives a reference point to say, okay, if somebody is claiming to that, okay, meditation or understanding Vedic knowledge or through the knowledge practice, jnana process or yoga process, it's not the highest. They are the supporting things, yeah. But the highest for this age for us is chanting the holy name. That is somewhat, that's our reference point to say, okay, if somebody is saying, okay, meditate and you'll achieve the highest, we'll be saying, does the scripture support that? We'll be saying, no. So there's, yeah, it's subtle. I understand where you're here. Like, I think somewhat you understand. Yeah, there is so much similarity out there. They will be teaching the same thing. You're not sold, you're this, that, or this, and the whole process. The highest process given by Mahaprabhu, God Himself, is the chanting of the holy name, and we accept that, we follow that. I think we are in safe boat.
Why the question is mainly trying to also understand the point of Srila Prabhupada when he tried to validate all the variety of religions as well. And also part of our preaching is that The different variety of religions are like steps in the growing and the step. Different variety of ways to approach to God.
Mm-hmm.
They have the same principle, but because not everybody is equal,
mm-hmm.
and different levels of understanding,
mm-hmm.
so upgrading each one
mm-hmm.
according to their progress,
yeah.
but the validity is there. So it's just...
We don't... I mean, if somebody is practicing something, like, for example, yoga practice, or, you know, somebody is, you know, meditating, or, you know, practicing, studying the scriptures and everything, jnana process and everything, we don't totally condemn, we don't condemn that. These are all supplement, is the supporting. At the end of the day, you'll have to come to the devotional service. Yeah? So, not having knowledge, it's not, you know, having knowledge is better that you can perform devotional service better. Having a sense control, for example, the yoga process deals with the sense control. In a devotional service also is required, sense control is required. They are the supporting elements. We don't totally condemn it, but it's not the highest. That's why we don't, our focus is not there. And so it's, yeah, keep it simple.
And also the point of, because the king was, his function is trying to protect the citizens, so it would apply that in our society, secular government.
Mm-hmm.
So they are not promoting the God, the protection of
correct.
The citizens.
Correct.
But at the same time, they are not against the freedom of creeds.
Freedom of?
Different beliefs and mm-hmm. religions.
Mm-hmm.
It's not against. So.
Yeah. So being aloof also is not, you know, like, okay, do what you want, don't disturb me, I don't disturb you. That principle also is like, it's not good. I mean, at least they're doing a basic thing. They will be providing our, you know, like, transport, the water system, the electricity, and everything, infrastructure, the hospital, and everything is there. This is the way, it's just on a very gross level of the need of the body. This is what the modern rulers they provide to us. But let's go a little higher than that. Is it really the all in all? No, it's not. So, according to their understanding, provide anything for the body is their highest perfection. But according to a spiritual thing, that's the lowest. Providing, as you mentioned, birth, old age, disease, death, you know, saving someone from that is higher. Or connecting a spiritual soul with the supreme soul is the higher. So the understanding of the modern rulers, at the moment, unfortunately, it's on the bodily level. They're trying their best to provide, to protect the body. But spiritual texts tell us body is temporary, it's going to perish, it's going to die. But we are eternal spiritual soul. So doing something to that is higher. Or connecting. Ultimately, getting every all the material, the living entity or suffering in the material world to get it back to God the way there is no suffering. So that would be the highest. That's the responsibility of the kings. As we hear.
If you don't want to make another
small question,
it's trying to understand the difference in six types of adharmas.
Mm-hmm.
One of, if I'm not wrong, you mentioned the third one is that protect the citizens of practicing something that is not suitable for their own capacity or their level.
I'll read you all this five of the five of them. Pidharma was irreligion. Religious principle that obstruct one from following his own religion are called Vidharma. So somewhat like a speculative kind of thing. Paradharma, religious principle which for which one is unfit. Yeah, that was right.
The one that I wanted to ask is, if, which is not unfit, trying to understand that point, do you think is the variety of religions can be applicable for that, in the sense that not everybody is fit to practice one specific bona fide religion, and for that there are many which are bona fide in one sense, but according to nature, can be applicable for that?
I mean, I think in this principle, as I understand, unfit equals that is some religion that has been, in the second line, is a religious principle introduced by others, which is not related to Shastra. And then they're following that, and they become unfit because they're just following something that's not bona fide. So that's my understanding of that word unfit. So eventually the in a material level, king is responsible to follow, get everybody to follow Varnashram system, which ultimately leads to connecting to the Supreme. And then the eventually, as Bhagavatam says, Ahituki Apratiyata, devotion, that's gonna take everyone back to God. That's it. Grandrasima Bhagavatam ki Sarvabhad ki Radha Bhagavad Gita.